gospel passage that we heard Cannon read this morning, we were hearing part of Jesus' prayer to the Father. And this prayer that we have in the Gospel of John is the longest prayer that we have in all of Scripture from Jesus. It's a prayer where he is hours before his arrest, and soon his crucifixion will take place. So we get a glimpse in this prayer into Jesus' heart. We get a glimpse into what's important to him, what he wants to happen. And as Jesus starts this portion that's about his disciples, and by extension you and I, because he does go on to say this isn't just for his current disciples, but those that will come after you and I. But he starts out by praying and saying that what he really wants for his disciples is for them to have the fullness or the completeness or the totality of his joy. So not just, you know, a portion of his joy, the fullness of his joy. What does he mean by that? What kind of joy is Jesus talking about? Because this is when Jesus is about to be arrested and crucified. So what does it mean that Jesus has this complete and total joy and he wants his disciples to have it as well? This is clarified maybe a little bit for us. It maybe reveals some of what Jesus was talking about, in that what he goes on to say in his prayer after he asked for them to have his joy is that they be sent out into the world just as he has been sent out. So somehow, this joy that Jesus has, I think, is connected to mission. The joy that Jesus is talking about here is not just simple happiness or giddiness or that everything in your life is just peachy and isn't hard or scary. Because if that was the kind of that we're talking about here, it just doesn't connect with me for what Jesus was going through, nor for what the disciples would go through, or for what you and I go through in our lives. I think the joy Jesus is talking about here is something deeper. It's that deep, abiding sense that we're in the Father's will. We're doing what we were meant to do. I know some of you know what that feels like, because we can have that joy even when things are going wrong around us, right? When we are where we're supposed to be. I think this lines up with what Jesus is saying, and I don't know if you had thought about that. Have you thought about the fact that being sent on a mission is intimately bound up with joy? The mission we're talking about here is just not any old task, though. If I send my kids on a mission downstairs to clean up the basement, that's not really what I'm talking about, although that's an important mission. I'm talking more about the kinds of missions that are bigger than us. The ones that might be dangerous. The ones that might require us to set aside ourselves as number one and the most important in service of a higher calling. That's the kind of mission that I'm talking about. So Jesus says in his prayer that God would send his disciples into the world just as he has been sent into the world on this mission, this purpose of greatest importance. Not something that's just about following your own desires. In Jesus' very own prayer for himself, he says, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours." I don't know about you, but I have found that those who are on that kind of a mission, those who are on a mission that's in service to something that's bigger than themselves, they tend to be more fulfilled. They tend to be more alive, in my estimation. and their person because they're engaged in something that gives them meaning. I want you to think about when life goes wrong, or think about yourself as a young person and maybe when you weren't walking the straight and narrow. So much of that, so much of what goes wrong comes down to the fact that we didn't have a purpose. We didn't have a mission. We weren't caught up in something bigger than ourselves. We were busy, I don't know, messing around, doing whatever. So this call that Jesus sends us, prays that we would be sent on, is connected to his full and complete joy somehow, this mission. But as Jesus says in verse 14 through 16, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. So Jesus is sending them out here, asking the Father would give them joy, with full knowledge that they are going to be out there being hated. That they're going to feel like aliens. All of this serves to reinforce the fact that if we've got a really simplistic view of joy, we need to rethink that, don't we? Somehow, in this mission to places and people that won't always be friendly to us, Jesus believes that this is something that we can do and still have the fullness and completeness of his joy at the same time. Friends, I would argue that that's because I don't even know if we can have Christ's complete joy if we aren't sent, if we aren't on that mission to what God's called us to. And not every one of our missions looks the same. We're all a part of one greater mission, which is to go and make disciples, to teach them to obey what Jesus has commanded, that great commission. But our service to that might all look different, but I can't tell you how many people, how many of you I've spoken to. Think in your own minds and in your own hearts. When do you feel the most joy, real joy? That joy that isn't like getting a new car joy. Right? It feels different. The joy that can only come from Christ, from being sent, from being in the will of the Father. We really shouldn't be surprised that we would be sent as a people as Jesus has been sent, because that's been a pattern that has been taking place throughout Scripture, leading all the way up to Jesus Christ. The truth is that whenever God saves someone, whenever God blesses someone, it's not just to be saved from something, it's also to be saved to do something. Let me give you an example from Isaiah's calling. Isaiah has a vision that he's in the temple of the Lord. He's transported there. And he says, "Woe is me, I'm lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And a seraph takes a coal from the altar and touches it to his lips, saving him, purifying him in the presence of the Lord. And then what does God ask immediately after that takes place? "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah responds, "Here I am, send me." We see this process repeated in Scripture. When people are saved, when God steps in, the movement is towards being sent. We can think of being saved in the terms of blessing as well. When we are blessed, Scripture shows us that we then go to bless other people. That was the whole point of God's people Israel, was not just that he was going to just bless them so they could just enjoy all of his blessings, but so that they could go and be a blessing to all the other peoples of the earth. In Abram's calling, he is asked to leave his country, which is a scary thing, but he leaves with a promise that God is going to make him into a great nation, that God is going to bless him, and that he's going to make him a blessing to all nations. God's blessing spills over the one that is first blessed and is intended to bless other people. When we are saved in Jesus Christ, the intention is that we are saved not just from death, but we're saved to new life that means being sent out. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Being sent and being a disciple are one and the same thing. Being in mission is not optional for his people. It's not just for a select few. It's for every single disciple of Jesus Christ. Like I said, it doesn't all look the same. Each of us are gifted differently, like the different parts of the body. But always we are saved, we are blessed, so that we may bless other people. And as we see in Jesus' prayer, we should have no expectation as we're sent that this is going to be easy, that we're going to be liked because of it, that that won't come at a cost. But what Jesus prays that we'll have in the midst of that is what? His complete, his total and full joy. His complete, total and full joy. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the BLESS initiative. And BLESS is an acronym. The B stands for Begin With Prayer. So that's what we're going to look at next week and on Wednesday coming up. Begin With Prayer. The L stands for, Listen With Care. Thank you, Peggy. I should have written it down. The E stands for Eat Together. The S stands for Serve and Love, and the final S is Share Your Story. So the point of this whole initiative that we're going to walk through all begins with the recognition that God's people are always saved to something, not just from something. That God's people are always blessed in order to be a blessing to other people. So each one of these stops along the way as we work through BLESS are going to help us understand what is it to be intentional about evangelism? What is it to be intentional about reaching the world with the good news of the gospel? It's not just a one thing. It's not a one-dimensional thing. All of these things we weave throughout our life, and it becomes witness as we build relationships, as we pray for people, as we share our stories. All of this is a part of the mission. All of it is a part of what we're called to. And as I've said before, and I love the way that they say this at the end, share your story. As I've reminded you on multiple occasions, each one of you in Christ has a story. Just share it. You can't share what God has done in your life incorrectly. You just share that with an open heart. And God uses that by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not up to you to change the person's heart. So I hope that you will join us on this journey. There'll be some inserts in your bulletins on a week-to-week basis, so you can follow that throughout your week. And on the Wednesday nights, we're going to take a deeper dive on each one of these subjects. So let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us, that you have saved us. God, we pray that you would give us the fullness of Christ's joy as we are sent. That you would build in us, by the power of your Spirit, a firm foundation of joy, knowing that we are in your will and that you hold our lives. God, may you make us bold in love and bold in sharing our stories. In Jesus' name, amen.